This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prism, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Who would have thought if I said Breeze Brady, Cam Joe Flacco, best quarterback matchup this week? If I told you Cam and Joe Flacco once had an epic Monday night showdown, you might believe it because they've had a lot of success in their careers. Newton was an MVP. Flacco's Super Bowl MVP. The thing you wouldn't believe is the year that that game took place, 2020, because neither quarterback was doing anything that would make you think they could play like they did last night. Cam was great. Ran for a couple of touchdowns. Threw for 274. Patriots pick up the win. Flacco threw for 3 touchdowns. A throwback performance for New York. And if you're a Jets fan, you're probably saying, we want to beat the Patriots. We don't want to beat the Patriots. They now are 0-9 and hold on to the top spot in the draft. Meanwhile, New England improves to 3-5. They can get back into the playoff hunt. It was a surprising game with a result that could have much bigger implications down the road when you factor in the number one pick overall. And the Jets look good early. New England is an average team, I think, this year. I don't have them making the playoffs. Nothing last night convinced me otherwise. They got the Ravens coming up, their next game. And that doesn't mean they can't beat them. They host the Ravens. But it feels like they might make a run. Schedule's a little softer second half of the season. Maybe there's a 9-7 team there. There's a possibility that we're going to be expanding the playoffs this year. Don't know. Now, this is if you have a meaningful game that is canceled, that they will enact the new playoff structure. And that would be a 16 playoff team contingency plan. Baseball did this. The NFL is going to do this. If a team or teams are unable to play all of their regular season games, the plan is to expand the number of teams that would make the playoffs from each conference from 7 to 8. That allows for a seeded bracket That replaces the traditional format. Each division winner will make the playoffs. Four additional teams with the best record in their conferences also make the playoffs. Ties will be broken using at least 10 different metrics there, head-to-head, conference winning percentage, strength of schedule. Once the playoff teams are decided, winning the division ceases to matter. Each conference will seed their teams by winning percentage. So instead of a normal wild card round and a first round bye for the top team, all teams will play each other using a bracket format. Now, this is going to be voted on today. NFL owners will vote today to approve what is called a COVID-19 contingency playoff plan. Kind of sneaky. You're like, wait a minute, I didn't know anything about this. They just added a seventh team in the AFC and the NFC. Now we're going to eight. Now we may have a seeded format here. And I do think this might be the future of the NFL when it comes to expanding playoffs and having the seeded brackets there. There's more money there. And I think that's a real distinct possibility. Patriots come back, beat the Jets 30-27. And if you're the Jets, and if I'm a Jets fan, I'm relieved. I think we showed that we can play, we can be competitive, but I don't want to win. I'll take the label. I'll take the 0-16 label. I'm okay. Because if I go 0-16 and I end up with Trevor Lawrence, I won. I don't want to have two wins. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't help us. We're either going to be really good at being bad, or we're going to try to be a 500 team. And a 500 team might get you into the playoffs. Anything else, you're in no man's land. Even going 9-7, 8-8, you're still in no man's land. Are you getting better? Are you getting worse? Are you reloading, rebuilding? With the Jets, you're not good, and you will be rebuilding. And even with Trevor Lawrence, you're going to be rebuilding. I still want to know. I'm going to guess, and I don't know Trevor Lawrence. I don't think we've ever had him on the show. I'm going to guess Trevor Lawrence did not watch last night's game. Because if he was watching, who was he rooting for? Was he rooting for the Jets to win the game? But then, do you want to be a Jaguar? We're running out of teams where he could end up. And you could watch your future unfold right before your very eyes. Imagine that no matter what you do for a living, if you were going to watch where you could end up, where you live, who you play for, we have a choice. Most of us have a choice. Coming out of high school, he had a choice. Coming out of college, he doesn't have a choice. Well, he may. If he pulls an Eli Manning and says, you know, on second thought, I don't want to play there. But if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I don't know if I'm watching. And if I am, I love me some Cam Newton today after a couple of rushing touchdowns. If you look at what, you know, the Jets ran four plays for 3 yards in the fourth quarter. They had the ball a total of 1 minute and 24 seconds. Seems almost impossible, but it's Jetsian. Like, I don't, it's not a word, but I've made it a word because if the, you know, when the Jets act like the Jets, it's Jetsian. And last night you saw that. This is a team that gets dominated in the second half of games this year. Outscored 46-7 in the last three games, second half. Outgained 755-145. Their opponents have run 130 offensive plays. The Jets have run 53. 3-2-1.
Stat of the day.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Here comes the stat of the day.
Seton going a little a cappella there for me. Thank you very much, Seton.
Yeah, he's throwing you the assist.
This program brought to you by MasterClass, offering 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their fields. Get unlimited access to every MasterClass and 15% off the first year of an annual membership at MasterClass.com/Patrick. The classes are in between 2 and 5 hours there. Shonda Rhimes, she can teach you writing for television. Steve Martin teaches comedy. Natalie Portman teaches acting. Samuel L. Jackson teaches acting. Gordon Ramsay cooking. Steph Curry. Serena Williams. Bob Iger, the former head of Disney, has a very powerful masterclass. But there's some great stuff there. Masterclass.com/Patrick. All right, McLovin, what kind of poll question do you have?
Well, we have all kinds of poll questions, but on this side of the glass, a debate heated up. It looks like if you look at tankathon.com, that the Jets and the Jaguars, one of those two teams is going to get the number one pick.
Yeah.
So which one does Trevor want to go to if you have those two choices?
I don't know. I don't know if he wants to stay in the South. You go to Jacksonville. If I'm him, do I want the challenge of New York? Do I trust the front office of the Jets, or do I trust the front office of the Jags? The Jags will have a new head coach, I'm going to guess. The Jets will probably have a new head coach there. If Eric Bieniemy, and he's going to have his choice of jobs, he's the offensive coordinator at Kansas City. If I get him, you know, I'm also going to have to fight off the Texans for Eric Bieniemy, because, you know, you're looking at his perspective of who do I want to coach? Do I want to coach Deshaun Watson right now? Do I want to get Trevor Lawrence on that rookie deal? Do I want to go Jacksonville where I get Trevor Lawrence? Do I trust ownership in Jacksonville? Do I trust ownership with the Jets? And those are some big question marks there. And I think that's going to be, as we move along here, and it's not that the players are tanking, because people always get this wrong and they misinterpret what I'm saying. Joe Flacco was trying as if that was the Super Bowl. It's just, I don't know how much better Joe can be. And look, he made some mistakes there in the second half. The team made some, you know, mistakes, and it felt like the Patriots outcoached the Jets in the fourth quarter, certainly in the final drive there. Just felt that way. You know, the Patriots aren't going to put people away, but they hung in there long enough. And to come back and win the game, I know you don't really celebrate a win like that, but it's not the win was more joyous, but boy, that loss would have been demoralizing if I'm a Patriot or a Patriot fan there. What else do you have, McLovin?
Okay, on that Jets topic, another pre-show debate. Would you rather be 0-16 and guaranteed the number one pick, or 1-15 and roll the dice that you end up with the number one pick? So I'll give you a win, but you don't know what's going to happen.
I know, but you keep saying, oh, you don't want to be 0-16. Yeah. You don't want to have that label. You were an 0-16 team. I don't know how long that stays with you. You know, the Lions, they were 0-16. Okay. It sort of stayed with them. They're mired in mediocrity. The Browns, you know, when you see that team that doesn't win a game, how long does that stay? You know, the Jets wouldn't be alone. They'd have company there. And it's not like we'd go, oh, they lost all their games. Or, you know, it's worse going 1-15 and not getting Trevor Lawrence. If you say you go 0-16, you got him, then I'll take that. If by all accounts he is a once in a decade quarterback, but it doesn't matter how good he is. It's how good the talent is around him, how good the front office is. Can you draft? How are you with the cap? How are you with free agency? There's so much more that goes into this. Instead of, we got Trevor Lawrence. Okay, if I put Patrick Mahomes on the Jets right now, how many wins do you think they have? One? Two, maybe? Patrick Mahomes is in a perfect situation. He's got an experienced coach, probably the most talent, offensive talent of anybody in football. If I put him on the Jets, no matter how great he is he going to make the difference in one game, maybe two games? Who's he throwing to? He's not throwing to, you know, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not running the football. He doesn't have his offensive line. That's why when you go to a team and these quarterbacks who go high, go up early, you're going to a bad team. I think Justin Herbert has a better chance of succeeding because it feels like the Chargers do have stars. They just can't stay healthy. And because of that, he might be more competitive sooner. They keep blowing fourth quarter leads. Joe Burrow, we may not know how great he can be and how great the Bengals will be. It might be 2 or 3 years down the road. Tua is going into a situation with a team that is better than the Bengals, and he might have a better chance as well. But if I put Patrick Mahomes on the Jets or Jacksonville, they're not doing much. And he's the best quarterback in the game, most valuable quarterback in the game. Yeah, McLovin.
You're going full system here.
Well, I'm talking about having weapons. I'm talking about having an offensive line. That's not a system. It's like, can somebody block for me? Yes. Do I have somebody to throw to? If that's a system, then everybody has been a system quarterback in the history of the game.
Has there ever been a quarterback that was so dynamic that he could elevate even the worst team? Like maybe like a running quarterback? Is there any... Are there any exceptions? Like Peyton, when he came to the Colts, just sort of revamped everything immediately.
Yeah, but he had weapons. Peyton had weapons.
Well, they weren't there before he got there. They drafted him right after. Like, you know, he kind of raised that team from the dead.
And that's the key, is the front office drafted some pretty good people. And therefore, Peyton... I mean, Peyton struggled his first couple of years. And then he got talent, and Peyton became one of the greats of all time. I mean, we didn't know what Tom Brady was. They weren't, you know, showcasing their quarterback when he first started. It was about their defense. Yeah, Paul.
I have a snarky poll. You ready? Who most wants the Jets to go 0-16? Jets fans, they get Trevor Lawrence. Sam Darnold, because then he gets traded and doesn't have to be a Jet anymore, gets to restart his career somewhere else. Or Justin Fields, because then he doesn't get drafted by them. Little snarky. Who would most want?
Yes, Bob.
I feel like Justin Fields might want New York over Jacksonville because he doesn't have the fame that Trevor has yet. So maybe Justin Fields secretly wants to be a Jet. Because you're going to be famous if you're the number two overall pick to the Jets.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Justin Fields was famous in high school. That's what I recall.
Sam Darnold isn't famous.
That's true.
He was famous in college, but he's not famous now.
But Jacksonville is a tough spot, too, for publicity.
Yeah, but I don't believe that. You know, we thought, oh, you got to be in New York. How many athletes want to be in New York nowadays? It's rare when somebody, other than the Yankees writing a blank check for you.
Brooklyn just got KD and Kyrie.
But they didn't want to be in New York. They didn't want to be in New York City. They went to Brooklyn. Remember, I thought they would go to the Knicks, revitalize the Knicks. Maybe if we move the Jets to Brooklyn, then we would have a chance. Yes, Todd?
But still, if you're going to be on a bad team, at least early on, unless you're so convinced that the Jets front office is a disaster for many years to come, how could you not want to go to New York and see if you can resurrect not only the Jets, New York teams in general, the Jets and Giants have been horrible for years. You can be that hero to bring the Jets back.
But Trevor Lawrence doesn't know anything about the Jets' history.
So they'll inform them about it.
I know, but you're caught up in it because that's your childhood. These athletes nowadays don't give a damn about the Knicks. They don't care about the Jets.
But you want to be on the Jaguars instead of in New York?
But he doesn't get caught up in, oh, I got to go resurrect the Jets.
His agent should get caught up in it because I think that's a big difference between what you can possibly, it's limitless what you can do if you're a hero in New York.
How many free agents have gone to the Knicks? Big time free agents. Who, don't they want to revitalize the Knicks?
Back in the day, I guess. The Garden has definitely lost some of its luster. But if someone's willing to take the chance and can help the Knicks get back to the glory days, you know how you'd be like forever like a
they
huge
don't,
hero.
They don't. You have to understand today's athlete, Todd. They're not stuck in the 70s and 80s like you are. They don't care. Trevor Lawrence may know who Joe Namath is. Maybe. But I don't think he's going, man, I always looked up to Chad Pennington. It just doesn't happen with today's athlete.
But if you're not afraid of the media and the pressure of New York, I can't imagine if you have your choice of, regardless of how bad the Jets are, and you think the Jacksonville front office is going to figure it out faster than the Jets front office would. I don't know how you would.
I don't have confidence in either one of them. I just know that the Jags went to the AFC title game and could have gone to the Super Bowl. The Jets, maybe some of their players have gone to a Super Bowl. They probably scalped their tickets. Yes, Paulie.
It's interesting that we don't know Trevor Lawrence's personality, because if you would have said before the draft when Eli Manning was up there, would he want to be a Charger or a Jet or a Giant, I would have said, oh, Charger. Chill place. He's a low-key guy. He's not like his brother. He's not a media hound. And I would have guessed that Eli Manning would have said, San Diego's perfect for me. I could be all by myself out here. But he wanted New York, which is, I'm still surprised by that.
But I think today's athlete, you don't have to be in a major market, certainly in the NFL. Because they find stars everywhere. Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. It doesn't matter. LeBron was in Cleveland, remember? Oh, you got to be in a big market. He's going to the Knicks. Got to be in a big market here. And that I don't think it matters with today's athlete. Social media can place you wherever you want to be, whenever you want to be there. Yeah, McLovin.
I think the one place NFL players want to be is Dallas. I've heard that because you get so much marketing money. I mean, you get all the Greek yogurt ads and all that stuff. You get a lot of money. I mean, there is a big, you're not going to get the Oikos ad if you're the Jacksonville quarterback.
Well, Cam got the Oikos when he was in Carolina.
Yeah, I know. And then
Christian McCaffrey's one of the bigger names, and he's in Carolina.
I guess he gets some. You're right. But Jacksonville, the AFC South, I still have this bias against the AFC South. That might be the one team that's really hard to break out.
But you could go into a division that you got a chance to win right away.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just think of Jalen Ramsey and all those guys wanting to get out of there.
Well, that's because of the front office and Tom Coughlin. I mean, that's the reason why they wanted out. And then if you can somehow get Dabo Sweeney to want to go to Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence, all right, maybe you got something interesting. Maybe free agents would want to go play there. It's not a destination, but if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I would rather go to Jacksonville right now. The Jets, I have no trust in the Jets right now. And then I think, didn't the front office say Adam Gase is, you know, his job's not in jeopardy? Just based off that, I have questions about the Jets. Yes, McLovin.
There's another team that's towards the bottom, Washington. That's an ownership group that a lot of people don't want to be around either.
I'd probably rather be a Jet, even though I love Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
I'd want to play for Ron Rivera. I do think they have some talent there. That's close, and it shouldn't be. I get to play in the NFC East, so I got Philly, New York, and Dallas every week in and week out that I'm facing them. But, yeah, I don't trust ownership there. It's all – if you said I just want to know who my GM is. How sharp is my GM? How good is his track record? Because that's what you need. You need to go, I got complete confidence that you're going to pick the right guys to surround me with talent. It goes back to what I always say about the Cleveland Browns. They always had a boatload of draft picks. And I said, but who's picking? And that's where you go, oh, you're right. You got a front office that's smart. That's big difference. You can have less draft picks and still do more damage in the draft because you're smart. You can win the lottery and not be smart, and then 5 years later, you're bankrupt. I mean, that's what happens with some of these teams. Here's your lottery. I got all these draft picks for you. I come back in 5 years and go, wait, where are your draft picks? I don't know. Justin Gilbert's not here. Johnny Manziel's not here. Brandon Weeden's not here. On and on and on and on and on. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. you will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth, with NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
By the way, I said I was going to have a Pac-12 offering here. I don't know if it's worthy of that.
The whole West Coast is waiting.
Okay, so the MAC is playing tonight. There's three games tonight. If I'm the Pac-12 and I want to own a night, own a day, why don't I just play Wednesday night football? Because you're playing at 9 a.m. West Coast time now. And you're a West Coast fan. And you're going, what are we doing? Like, what happened to the Pac-12? The artist formerly known as the Pac-12. If I just say, we're playing Wednesday night and it's Pac-12 night and you're playing those games, then I would seriously consider that. Because you want to be relevant. You're not relevant at... Unless you go, hey, we're on at 9 a.m. in the morning. Okay, but Arizona State, USC snuck up on people. People on the East Coast, it snuck up on. You're like, wait, what? But it feels like these are desperate times for the Pac-12. And just being relevant. You want people to see Oregon. Is Oregon going to be a team that we would put in the top 10, top 5? The MAC feels more relevant than the Pac-12, and that should never happen. Why not just own Wednesday night? Saturday night used to be a big deal for the Pac-12. And loved watching those games late at night, East Coast time. Because I don't have an East Coast bias, of course. But like at this stage right now, I don't know how many games you get in. You've already had one game canceled. And you just want to get, can we get 6-7 games in here? Can we have somebody watch us? Can we have somebody write about us? It's like the standalone game on Thursday night always gets so much attention written about it. And it's by default because it's Thursday night. The Pac-12 needs somebody to be watching. Yeah, McLovin.
This is going to sound very contrarian, but maybe the Pac-12 is like orienting itself around like academics and not, they don't feel like these programs are all in. I mean, USC, I feel because of the scandal, yeah. Like is stepping back. They don't want to be a jock school because of the lawsuit and stuff.
Well,
and Washington, all these schools, like, I don't know, like, why do they, I don't know why it's such a big deal for a Pac-12 to get the TV money.
Why can't you do both?
You can't do both. You can't. I mean, Notre Dame is finally back in, but you can't have high academic standards and have like the best team in the country, right? Isn't that
well? Just having a relevant team. That the Pac-12 is not relevant, and it's a shame because it feels like there's a Big Four, not a Big Five anymore. And you know, the Pac-12 network has not been successful, and there's so much talent certainly out there on the West Coast, and it just feels like this is a lost season for them.
But like UCLA does not, they're not going to spend on football like those. Like we've heard that a million times.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know that.
Cal is not going to do that.
Well, the Pac-12 should decide what it wants to be then. I mean, Stanford's had both. They've had success, academic standards. I mean, it works. I know that Michigan's talked about how, you know, Rich Rodriguez came to Jim Harbaugh's defense saying that, hey, you can't get everybody in that you want to get in. Now, Notre Dame, same thing. They can't get in everybody they want to get in. Urban Meyer, when he was going, he was looking at the Notre Dame job. Now, this came from Jerome Bettis, a Notre Dame grad. And he said they were trying to get Urban Meyer to take the Notre Dame job. I guess he went through South Bend and he said, how many players can I get in who might be on the cutting line, the edge here? And I think they said you could get one. Now, Lou Holtz got two each year where they admitted somebody they probably, like Tony Rice, I think they admitted that they wouldn't have admitted during normal circumstances. He won a national title. Yeah, Paulie.
Other schools down south, they work in two smart kids. Like, let's get a kicker with a 4.0 and help the whole team.
Yeah, we got to get somebody who's got a good grade point average to raise that up.
But how about a walk-on with like bangs with a 4.0?
Urban Meyer just kept going. He like, oh, I'm going to head down to Florida. Like, I'm going to pass through here. And this is Jerome Bettis telling me the story. He's like, we were trying to say, come on, you take the job. I got one guy who might not get in normally. And then he was like, I'm going to keep going south and heading to Florida.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Jim Gray, the sportscaster, reporter, producer, 12-time Sports Emmy Award winner, and his new book, I highly recommend. It's called Talking to Goats, The Moments You Remember and the Stories You Never Heard, available beginning today online wherever books are sold. Jim, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Dan. Good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Where are you right now?
I'm in Los Angeles. Had to get out of my house this morning. No internet, no power, so I've come across the way here to a place that I think you know.
Oh, Riviera. Wow. So you're right off the putting green above 18 there at Riviera.
Yes, thanks to Mr. Yamaki for letting me come over on short notice here.
I was just telling the Danettes about the Richard Nixon story, and they thought that I was talking about somebody else named Nixon here. Now explain the former president and how you come in contact with him and start talking football.
I was living at John Madden's place at the Dakota. He was a dear friend, and John let me stay at his place for a couple of years. It was like the guy who came for dinner and never left. So I was walking down the street one day, and a guy pulls up in a sedan, and it's black tinted windows. And the guy says to me, are you Jim Gray? And I said, yeah. And I just kind of kept walking because black tinted windows. And I'm thinking, well, what does this guy want to talk to me for? So I crossed the street and they came back around. He said, you're Jim Gray. I said, well, we kind of established that I am. Nice to see you. He said, President Nixon wants to talk to you. And a guy rolled down the window and there was Richard Nixon. So I got in the car, talked to Richard Nixon for 45 minutes. He knew everything about New York football giants. He knew everything about baseball. He's rattling off statistics. He's got all kinds of scenarios in his head of what got on in all-star games. So I get out of the car all excited. I come back to the apartment and I see Matt and I say, hey coach, you're not going to believe this. I'm walking down the street and I just talked for 45 minutes with President Nixon. He said, don't ever S Madden. I've heard all the S I can take from Matusak and Sistrup. Don't ever S Madden. And he walks out of the room. Well, about a year later, I'm sitting in there watching television. And Madden comes in and he says, I'm sorry I called you an S. Said, what are you talking about, coach? He said, about a year ago, I called you an S. And guess what? I just spent about an hour in the car with Richard Nixon over here on 72nd in Columbus.
And you're living in the Dakota at John Madden's apartment. This is right off Central Park. And you end up some kind of encounter with Yoko Ono in the Dakota.
She lived right across the way. So when you'd look out of Madden's kitchen, about I don't know, 60 feet, 90 feet across the way in the Dakota in the courtyard was Yoko Ono. And she lived there, obviously, with John Lennon, and he was assassinated. And so, you know, I'd get up and have some orange juice. And from time to time, she'd be in the window and we'd just kind of wave. And she would wave back. So she probably thought I was one of Madden's sons or didn't really know. So one day I'm walking back from the studios from 30 Rock. And I walking through, ironically, Strawberry Fields. And there's Yoko Ono, and she's with somebody. And so I said, hello, Mrs. Ono. Hello, Yoko. I'm Jim Gray. I wave to you all the time. And we talked, and she was very pleasant. About a minute and a half, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever it was. Not long. And you could see it kind of, it ended, Dan. And so I said, well, maybe we should have a Coca-Cola one time or get together and have some coffee. And she said, no, I prefer to wave. So about a week and a half later, you know, I was kind of embarrassed, but, you know, that's all right. She was very nice. I mean, she was terrific. So she's sitting in the window and I kind of waved and I was a little sheepish because I thought maybe she'd blow me off. Not gave me a bit. So she preferred to wave.
Give me the toughest story to tell in this book.
Wow. The toughest story to tell. Well, it's probably Pete Rose. And the Pete Rose interview that happened 21 years ago, just because of everything that went on and all of the vitriol and tumult that was associated with it for me, for him, for the network, and for everybody involved, for baseball.
Walk us through it. The game plan that, you know, they were honoring, you know, the greats, I think it was MasterCard, I think, honoring the greats of the game. And you were on-field reporter for NBC. And what was your game plan in talking to Pete?
Well, everybody had decided, and you worked there for a long time, Dan. So, you know, Dick Ebersol and Sam Flood and Bob Costas, Bob Uecker, Joe Morgan, you know, we had our meeting and we wanted to speak to Pete, and we didn't really know if he was going to speak or not. And then we got confirmation that he would. And so we all had a meeting and everybody agreed that, you know, what the line of questioning had to be. It was the first time he'd been on the field in 10 years after having signed his own banishment away and hoping to be reinstated. But so far that had been unfulfilled. So, you know, the idea was to ask him about what had gone on in his life. I saw Pete in a room with all the greats that they were celebrating, the all century team, and talked to him briefly about the interview. And he said, what would it be about? And I said, it's going to be about everything in your life, Pete. And he agreed. So he said, okay. So when he came over, you know, just started asking the questions and felt that it was necessary at that time to, you know, establish why he hadn't been in baseball and did he want to make some sort of admission. And it just kind of careened from there.
Do you think he understood of how to make himself a sympathetic figure in that moment? Make you look bad?
You know, I don't know. I'd never contemplated that. I don't think so, you know. Believe it or not, Dan, after 21 years and everything that went on, I sat down with Pete Rose last week and did an interview, and we're going to have it on Fox on Sunday night, on Fox News on Sunday night at 10 o'clock, an hour special on Talking to Goats. And we talked for an hour and a half. But I don't think he was. You know, he says in the special that he had been playing baseball since he was 8 years old, since they determined, you know, he was special. All the way up until he was 47, he was involved in the game. And he said it was just not in his best interest to come clean. First of all, he didn't think they had the evidence, even after they had the evidence. And he said, if I would have admitted this, I was guaranteeing my own banishment. So it was just better to lie and hope that they didn't and that it would go away and that it got away from him.
You talked to a lot of different people. Obviously, the book is called Talking to Goats. We're talking to Jim Gray, his new book that's out now. It's available online wherever books are sold. Your favorite athlete that you talk about, have a story about in the book is who?
I don't know that I would have any favorite, Dan. I mean, I've been, you know, very close to a lot of guys. Chuck Daly was my best friend. Julius Erving, obviously, opened so many doors for me, was in the wedding. Muhammad Ali, and traveling with him, and my first interview with Muhammad Ali. Love Charles Barkley's company. Do a radio show for the past decade plus with Tom Brady. So it's hard for me to just sit here and pinpoint. Knew Kobe Bryant since he was just an infant all the way through his life, and, you know, still mourning that loss. And you know, he was a close, dear friend. So I wouldn't want to just sit here and say any one of them, but I would just say the whole collection of them all have been a really, really fortunate existence, and I wouldn't trade it.
What's your favorite Kobe story?
My favorite Kobe story is probably, my favorite Kobe story is one that didn't take place on the court. We went to Hong Kong together, and there were a bunch of folks that wanted to hear from Kobe. And so there were 20 guys that wanted to hear from him. So we flew over there, spent 36 hours together, did a question and answer. And after we had done the question and answer, we went to karaoke in Hong Kong, where only language really spoken there in this bar was Chinese. And we went in there and started singing Take Me Home, Country Roads by John Denver. And he sang New York by Jay-Z and Alicia Keys. And my wife, Fran, was with me, and she was singing an Elvis song. And we just had so much fun that night. I'm getting chills saying this. We had so much fun. And he was so dedicated to his kids, and he had been out of basketball for a couple of years at that point, maybe two or three. And he was just so at ease. And I just never forget the scene. Those people in that karaoke bar knew very little or no English other than the songs, but every single one of them wanted to touch Kobe Bryant. Mm. Every single one of them wanted to be near him, take a photo, knew who he was, and wanted to be in his company. And I'd seen that with Ali, and I'd seen that with Dr. J, and you see that with, I saw that with Michael Jackson when I was with him at a fight. But just the pure joy that he was able to bring those folks, and the fun that he had doing it. I guess that's the favorite thing, you know, that I would, it's probably because it's also the most recent.
I mentioned this when Muhammad Ali died, that his impact on a new generation was really not necessarily about boxing. It was about being an activist. It was about being out there. It was all the bravery that he had his entire career. And I think that that whole wave of Chris Paul and LeBron James and, you know, some of these other players, they saw this retrospective, these eulogies to him. And I don't know if it triggered something, and I don't know if you ever got that feeling, but it felt like Ali's impact on this new generation was based off things he did outside of the ring.
I would say that's 100% accurate. Look at what LeBron did in the documentary that he did for HBO, which I believe was just this year, on Muhammad Ali. He was the executive producer with Maverick Carter and Rich Paul and their company and Randy Mims. And I think that what they saw in Ali and what we all saw in Ali, and it resonated throughout his whole life. But the courage, you know, the greatest moment that I ever saw in sports, it's twofold. But the first one has to be Muhammad Ali when he lit the torch. Yeah. And I was on the field that night in Atlanta doing the Olympics, and Bob Costas and Dick Enberg were in my ear, and we could hear that, and you could see that, and just the courage that it took, the bravery, the humanity, the fragility of life, and the pure greatness of that moment and that man, for all that he stood for, all of the principles, everything that he had done in the ring, and more so out of the ring. It was all there in front of us, and if that wasn't an example that will live forever, for good, for future generations, for everything that he did, for all of us, and for the world. And I think all of those guys saw that, and all of those guys know his story. And so, yes, do they want to emulate that? Yes. And do they want to carve their own path and do great things? Yes, I truly believe that, Dan.
I know you have a great relationship with Tom Brady, but do you know everything that went into that decision to leave Tampa? Because in the book you mentioned that, you know, there were three teams involved, including the Chicago Bears, that Tom was considering. What don't we know about that decision by Tom to leave the Patriots?
Well, what don't we know? I mean, I think I know, you know, I know Tom very well, but I can't tell you his innermost thoughts. I do know that his family was very important. And I do know that the proximity of Tampa to Brazil and to Costa Rica is very important because of Giselle. And I do know that his son Jack lives in New York and would come to the games in Boston and visit his father. And he's now 13 or 14 years old, and that's very important to him. So when it came down to the Chargers, Chicago, and Tampa, you know, I think that the Chargers, just the proximity and the West Coast was just too tough for a 14-year-old to be flying back and forth, you know, 12, 14 hours a weekend. And then that makes it also another 8 hours for Giselle to get to her family. So I think that in the end, the family was most important. And Chicago, I can't tell you why he didn't choose Chicago and why he did choose Tampa. Weather probably had a little bit to do with it after freezing and suffering through New England all those years. Sure. Tom seems to be pretty happy sitting out there in that whirlpool, you know, getting better with Alex Guerrero after some of these games. You know, the heat is a little bit better than the frozen cold.
I highly recommend the book. It's a great read. And if you want one of those stocking stuffers in time for Christmas, it's called Talking to Goats. And it's available in bookstores and online, wherever books are sold. It's Talking to Goats, the moments you remember and the stories you never heard. And what I loved about it, Jim, was you gave your side, whether you know, the Pete Rose situation, the decision with LeBron. All you did was give context to a story that I think people have already made up their minds about. And I think even if you've made up your mind, I think you're going to make people reconsider or look at it differently. And I, you know, you put it out there, warts and all, these stories. And I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate you reading it. Thank you for having me on. Love your show. Love the guys. And what I'm most happy about, you're doing great.
Yeah.
You're feeling better and you're out there at Corn Ferry Tour. I'm ready to see it.
Yep. I played golf with Jim at Riviera. He played better than I did there. And we were on the 10th hole. We're approaching the 10th green. And he had been talking about my health. And he goes, hold on. Let me call Tom. So he calls Brady. And he FaceTimes Brady. And he's like, hey, I got somebody who wants to say hello. And I'm like, what? Hey, Tom, how are you? And then you guys talked about some other things. But Tom did send me a book, thanks to you, with all of his workout regimen and the diet and everything else as well. So I look exactly like Brady does now, Tom, or Jim.
And I hope the TB12 method helped you. But I remember we had a great day together, too. And I remember you tried to dunk on Dr. J.
Oh,
out there in Salt Lake City.
That was NBA Finals mid-90s. And Jim invited me to play with Dr. J. And we're playing at a golf course outside of Salt Lake. And there was a backup on like the 15th tee. And there was a basketball court in a yard right off the tee. And I said, Doc, would you come over and shoot around? And Doc is one of the nicest people you ever meet. And then I said, would you stand underneath because I want to dunk on you? So we lowered the hoop to like maybe 8 feet. And I Dr. J let me dunk on him that day, Jim.
You know, if we all would have had cameras and cell phones back in that day, boy, that would have been all over everywhere.
It depends on how you framed it. But if you framed it where I was actually on a 10-foot hoop dunking on Dr. J, I could have lived in infamy. But thanks again. And thank you, as always, for your friendship. And I wish you the best of luck with the book.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me.
That's Jim Gray, Forrest Gump of sports reporters. He's everywhere. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
When you think about 2020 in the world of sports, it's like you wake up and you have to walk around with your shoes on the wrong feet. Like, there's nothing normal. There's nothing comfortable about it. We have the Masters in November, and it's disjointed. Basketball just ended, and now it's just getting ready to start again. But November, not April. Sights and sounds, no patrons there. Still the same course, but it's just about getting through each week, each day. And this is every sport. You're just trying to get through it. If they can manage, we can focus on the golf and enjoy one of the best events in all the sports. Whether it's April or November, Augusta still looks beautiful. Rain in the forecast. I'm curious what happens with Bryson DeChambeau, because he's going to be hitting some drives probably 400 yards.
Is that a shorter course in comparison to like U.S. Open courses?
Probably. They can't lengthen it much more than they already have. And I still maintain, and this goes back probably 7 years ago, where I was friends with somebody at Titleist. And I said to him, I said, do you think that the Masters will ever say, if you want to play in the Masters, you have to have our modifications for a golf ball? Because the clubs are unbelievable, but the golf ball is changing the sport. But NASCAR says that when you go to a certain track, restrictor plates, that's like this. If you go to Sonoma, this is the way we race here. And I think, I wonder if the Masters just said, we're going to put our logo on your golf ball, it has to pass our specifications, whether it's TaylorMade, it's Callaway, it's Titleist, go down the list of these golf balls. I'm not saying you go back to, you know, wooden clubs here.
Oh.
Or actual woods, you know, that there's wood in the wood.
Carry your own bag.
Yeah, that's right. Something like that. But I wonder if they just do sort of flight restricted, where you want to get back to golfing, not just who's the most powerful player out there. Golf is becoming a lot like baseball. It's just, it's all about power. And you miss the people, the players who, like, you look down through the list. There are a lot of golfers who never would have won majors. But they were great golfers. But it's about power and being able to overpower these, you know, par fives and make them a driver and a nine iron. That's not the way the courses were made. And you can't add too much to those tee boxes. They tried to do that on a couple of holes at Augusta. But there are certain ones, there's no more space there. No more room. And I just hate to see these golf courses being made antiquated. They, you know, the reason why they were set up, how they were set up, you know, the approach shots are going to change a little bit with power and, you know, the equipment. But I'd hate to see Augusta, you know, rendered a just another course here. And I would grow the rough if you could grow the rough. Like, you have to penalize long hitters. I go back to when they said, well, we're going to tiger-proof Augusta. What did they do? They lengthened it. And I went, so the guy who hits it further than anybody, you're going to lengthen it. That's going to tiger-proof it. You know what would tiger-proof it? If you had, like, some rough there. So when you miss the fairway, you know, you were penalized there. So now you've just taken 20 more golfers out of this because you tiger-proofed it. They jack-proofed it back in the 60s, Jack Nicklaus, because Jack was hitting the ball so much further than everybody else. Now, what do you do with Bryson DeChambeau? I don't think you can Bryson-proof this place. Yeah, Paul.
Do you think that the Masters, I should say the TV partners, is it CBS and ESPN?
Yeah.
Do you think that they'll pump in crowd noises and roars for, or are they going to go natural?
Well, they did before. They've pumped in noise.
At the Masters?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think they pumped in noise. I think, didn't somebody call them out and say, wait, that's a different kind of bird that's not... Caw-caw! Caw-caw! Yeah, there are different sound effects there, but I think somebody called out, Google that, Todd, while you're not doing anything.
That's actually the piping plover, which original to the area.
Yes. I think that they were called out for piping in some noise there. No, they didn't have that. Well, it is a dog leg left. Yeah, McLovin.
I have this story. Is CBS piping fake birds into its Masters coverage, and they talk to a professor who says yes, an ornithology professor.
I would love if they just had, you know, like Jurassic Park animals. Yeah, McLovin.
CBS said that they admitted they did it in the 2000 PGA, but they will not admit to putting in fake birds at Augusta. So they used to...
They will not admit, or they just said, no, we didn't?
Like, they said we did not, okay. But they admitted that they put in fake birds at the 2001 PGA, or 2000 PGA. Recorded bird sounds.
That is the Falco peregrinus, more commonly known as the peregrine falcon, not unique, not indigenous to that area, therefore.
Well, the migratory patterns in November.
Of course, of course.
Way different.
Of course.
Obviously.
Absolutely. I still go back to that movie Up with Russell. Caca, caca. Have you seen Up, McLovin?
Up with who?
It's a cartoon.
Oh, yeah. No.
In Balloons on a House.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they're crying at the opening scene.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah.
Oh, it'll make you cry your eyes out.
It's a great movie. Help but love Russell.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. all in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We make the smooth segue to Wright Thompson, ESPN senior writer. The new book is Pappy Land, a story of family fine bourbon and things that last, available beginning today online and wherever books are sold, and a reason to drink bourbon for the last 4 years while writing this book. Well done, Wright Thompson. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, man.
All right. So the idea is hatched how, when, where, why?
You know, at first it was like, maybe if I wrote a book about this guy, I could get some of this stuff. But it turns out that, like, I kept waiting to be shown like the mystery supply, but it doesn't exist. It's so rare that the Van Winkles themselves barely have it. And I just started going up there and hanging out with him, and I wasn't sure what the book was going to be. And I'm sure you've experienced this. The conversations I was having about, you know, he was going through a cancer fight. I just had our first child, and the conversations we were having about his father and my father and the kind of parent I wanted to be, those felt as much of the part of the story of the whiskey as the whiskey itself. And so the book was born. It's sort of a winding together of the history of the Van Winkle brand and of Kentucky bourbon with, you know, like, my wife read it for the first time, and I was trying to tell her my grand literary theory for it, and she was like, oh, you wrote Eat, Pray, Love for dads. And I was like, damn it. Like, that's not – don't tell anyone that. Like, it's not – you're going to kill my – any street cred I had is gone. It really is an exploration of inheritance and of, you know, the things that – the things we inherit from our fathers and the things we want to pass on to our children.
When did Pappy become something bigger than just a bourbon?
You know, in 1997, it got this famous 99 score. And I don't even really know how those things are rated, but people went nuts for it. And for years, Julian Van Winkle, who makes it, had just been going deeper and deeper into debt to keep this thing alive. The short story is his grandfather, Pappy Van Winkle, started the Stutzel Weller distillery, and then Julian's father lost it. And so Julian had spent his whole life just hanging on by his fingernails in the whiskey business, to the point that this year he is finally paying off the last of those loans. So 2021 will be the first year in the black.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's how long it took. And so they got this score, and all of a sudden people went crazy for it. And everyone realized what a small group of aficionados had always known, which was this was the best stuff in a bottle in the world. And now, I mean, as you know, as that guy was just saying, it's almost impossible to find. I mean, I'm raffling off 9 bottles of it this week at book events. And like, people are buying 10 tickets. Like, it's the response to those raffle tickets is pretty astonishing.
Also, when you're talking to Pappy, people think that he's the one that jacks up the prices on the secondary market. And he's not, I don't know what a regular, let's say a 23-year-aged bottle of Pappy. What would that go for? What's a regular price for that? And then the secondary?
It should be $270 to $300. And the secondary market is starts at $3,000 and just keeps going up. I mean, it's really crazy. And Julian will tell you no bourbon is worth $3,000. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's a stretch at 300. So it was pretty interesting to be inside that and see them sort of deal with people who think they're getting rich when they're not.
Why Kentucky? Why is Kentucky the home of bourbon?
You know, American whiskey started, it was rye whiskey in New York State and then in Pennsylvania. And then, you know, the big Alexander Hamilton, George Washington fight over the whiskey tax was really, I mean, the seeds of the 2020 election were planted then. And the whiskey tax was designed by someone who lived in a city who sort of thought it was a sin tax. And George Washington understood that making whiskey was how farmers who lived way out in the middle of nowhere kept their crops from rotting. And so all those people migrated from Pennsylvania down to Kentucky because there was a time when Kentucky was the Montana of America. It was the wild frontier. And so all of those farmers moved from New York to Pennsylvania and then down to Kentucky.
How would you describe that first taste of Pappy Van Winkle for those who probably will never get that opportunity?
You know, even when they, before the taste, I mean, even when they pour it in the glass, and I'm not one of those wine guys who can, you know, I don't know how to do that. So this is a pretty amateur opinion, but just looking at it going in the glass, the viscosity of it is different. I mean, I write about this a lot in Pappy Land, just watching people have it. Do you know what I mean? Like the bucket list aspect of it, you can tell when it's poured that it's not the crap you were drinking in college.
Can you take tours of Pappy Land?
You can. You can go to the Buffalo Trace Distillery. It's actually really cool. I would not recommend doing it after a night of hard drinking. I took a friend's bachelor party there one time, and you step out of the car, man, and it is overpowering smell of whiskey. But no, the tours are fabulous. It's the Buffalo Trace Distillery. You sort of come down a hill. It's like a time machine. I mean, you know, so much of bourbon and the people who love it is associated with nostalgia. I read somewhere recently, nostalgia comes from the Greek words for home and pain. And that sort of feels perfect when you think about a glass of bourbon and remembering your father or, you know, a toast to people who are no longer here. And, you know, exploring why bourbon means that thing to us is a big part of the book.
Is there bourbon snobbery? Did you encounter that?
You know, it's interesting. There's so much bourbon snobbery. And I was sort of making fun of him. And Julian shut me down pretty good because he was just like, hey, man, who are you to tell somebody how to enjoy something? If the thing they like about it is being a purist about it, then like live and let live, man. And I learned from that, actually. I mean, I spent a lot of time around Julian and he's a pretty remarkable guy. And you know, like if I have a business decision in the future or a family thing, he's somebody I would call sort of like a father figure. You know, I lost my father young, and I think a lot of people that happens to spend a lot of time trying to replace that and looking for people who serve that role in their lives. And so, you know, very early on, I knew I didn't just want to write the history of Van Winkle. I wanted to write about the 4 years I spent with Julian because of that very reason, because the most interesting parts to me were just riding shotgun with him and hearing how he thought about things.
Yeah, it presents itself as it's about bourbon, but it's not about bourbon. It's about lives. It's about families. It's about fathers. It's about sharing a moment there. You have thoroughbred racing that's also intertwined in this as well. So there's, you know, it's typical Wright Thompson that you got different layers going on. And I really enjoyed it. It was a quick read, an easy read, a great read. It's called Pappy Land, the story of family, fine bourbon, and things that last, available beginning today, both online and wherever books are sold. Are you going to the Masters?
You know, I was going to the Masters, and then I had a 2 week early daughter Friday. So I am no longer going to the Masters. I am instead dealing with the utter chaos in my house of the arrival of Louise Thompson.
So you got two under the age of two?
Two under the age of three. So I need the Pappy Van Winkle.
Your wife might have needed that at childbirth.
Yeah.
Instead of those Jell-O cubes, you would have just had bourbon cubes.
That's what I really dropped the ball on that, Dan.
And it's going to be so strange with no patrons there and the Masters in November. It's still going to look the same, probably sound the same to a certain degree, except for the patrons. But I was surprised they didn't try to incorporate any kind of group there or give people an opportunity. You'd never get a chance to go there. Like there's nobody going to be there. That ambiance is really what separates it from every other tournament.
It's going to be really strange. You know, ESPN had I'm sure you know Tim Horgan and Bluefoot, but like the guys who do all those bumps and teases, they were just there a week ago. And I was sort of expecting the place to look different because it was fall.
Yeah.
And he called the first day, was like, "This is so weird. I don't know what they've done. These guys are miracle workers. The course looks exactly like it would look in April." I mean, like these guys, like seasons have no dominion over whoever's running that golf course. It's pretty remarkable.
We had a contest that was, you had a contest that you incorporated our show and you invited our listeners to write who they would have. Well, give us the context of it. And then if you want to paraphrase the winning letter.
Yeah, man, we were talking a couple of months ago, and I just sort of said, look, tell me who you would drink a bottle of Pappy with and why. Because I feel like that question gets at the heart of what the book is about, which is about community and friendship and loss and regret and longing and home. And I don't know, man, you do these things, and I expected to get a couple of them. And I mean, one of the things, I mean, you know this very well, and Todd knows this, but the people that listen to your show, it's a real community of people.
Yeah.
And they're loyal. They love it. And I certainly didn't realize that until these letters started pouring in. And like my wife and I would sit there and read them, and every one was more moving than the one that came before. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to pick. And ultimately, I got one. Today is the Marine Corps birthday, which is a big deal in the Marine Corps. And I got a letter from I don't want to call him a former Marine because they get really upset about that. But like I've done that in print, and you will only do that once because the emails start flooding in. And so, but he is a retired, I don't know what, he's not a Marine Corps officer.
He's not active.
Correct.
Okay.
And, but he told me that his name is Ted Hubbard, and he told me that he wanted to drink a bottle of Pappy with the father of one of his Marines who was killed in Afghanistan. And he sent me this picture of he and three of his Marines, including Seth Sharp, who was killed in action, as they're leaving on the mission from which Seth wouldn't return. I mean, it makes the hair stand up on my arms. Mm-hmm. And he said he wanted to drink this bottle with Seth's father, Rick. And I just thought that like that instinct and impulse flows through the very heart of everything the book is trying to be. Mm. And so we sent him a bottle. He's got it right now. And I sort of feel like, I mean, jokes aside, man, anything else that happens from this is gravy. Like to be able to send one of these things and have it serve its true purpose. I mean, Julian is over the moon at it, because as opposed to someone collecting it and it getting dust in a cabinet like a trophy, this is going to be someone, you know, using it for its purpose in the world. And it's just, it really does say something about the community of people on this show, because I was stunned at the response. I mean, a lot of people, like, I don't know how many people listen to this, Dan, but it's a lot, because I was stunned at the response.
Yeah, I'd keep getting these updates from Wright. He'd be like, they're not stopping. Like, we're getting more letters. Oh, it's so hard to pick a winner. And then I went, great. I was glad that my audience responded to something that I thought was really important. Next sports story you're working on?
I have an Archie Manning profile coming out on ESPN that I feel like is, for someone who's been written about as much as Archie Manning, I feel like this is probably 8,000 new words about Archie Manning. So I'm pretty excited about that. It feels wholly new. And man, we are all masters all the time. I was up last night recording voiceovers. I was talking about silence. We're leading into it, Dan.
Well done as always. Great to talk to you again. What's your next book?
Man, I got a couple of things I'm kicking around.
You're going to do the history of Coors Light? Is that what you said?
Well, I think I was going to do the history of Busch Light because I only find products here.
No, do you have, wait, you don't want to tell me? Is this something you want to tell me
in
private?
I have a, Yeah, I have a couple of things I'm kicking around. I'm also hoping that the Dan Patrick audience buys so many of these books that I get to go back to Penguin and like make them triple their money.
So
you are hereby deputized.
Congrats on daughter number two.
Thank you so much, man. We're awesome. Really, really excited.
Now, when you get to your third daughter, then contact me and then I'll help you.
Oh, you have three?
Yes.
All right. I'm not joking. Like, I have lots of questions. How old are they?
They are in their 20s.
So is everybody out of the house?
They never leave.
They never leave?
Yes.
That's good and bad. I like the idea of, like, we have a little kid running around here talking about her baby Hista, and it's the cool, like, I'm over the moon about
I got a 22-year-old who said, I said, what are you going to do when you graduate from school? And she said, I'm thinking of staying at home, living at home till I'm 30. And I said, okay. Like, I love having them home, and girls are the best. And the advice I always give to people is listen. If you're a dad, listen to your daughters. You don't have to lecture. You don't have to do anything other than listen, because they'll tell you everything you want to hear if they think you're listening and not lecturing.
Well, that's actually really good advice. I'm
your wife as well, by the way. Just listen.
I've already screwed that up.
And have bourbon on hand as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, like, exactly. Lots of it.
Good luck with the book, Wright. Great to talk to you as always, buddy.
Thank you so much, Dan. Thanks, guys.
So Wright Thompson, ESPN senior writer. The new book, Pappy Land, A Story of Family, Fine Bourbon, and Things That Last. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
The Lombardi may have been lifted, but that doesn't mean there's no football to talk about. It's the offseason, and there's no better way to stay up to date with the latest from our league than with the Around the NFL podcast. Join me, Dan Hensis, and my buds, Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal, for news and fresh content all offseason long. From the start of free agency, where we'll break down familiar faces headed to new places, to the next generation of superstars walking across that stage at the NFL draft, we have you covered. Listen to the Around the NFL podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Heed the call.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL draft is right around the corner, and the Move the Six podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks.
When it comes to Detroit and the draft, Move the Sticks is the podcast that will answer all of your questions. Who should you put in your mock draft? Don't worry, tune in and you'll be ready to watch the draft like a scout.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.